reading, and I cannot...
God's word in Ezekiel chapter 2. Here begins the reading of God's holy and inspired word. He said to me, Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you. And as he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious a house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid through briars and thorns all around you, and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Then I looked, and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. From Ezekiel we go to the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 6, beginning our reading at the first verse and reading through verse 13. Two things that are significant in this particular portion of the scripture as Jesus goes back to his own hometown, and then as Jesus sends the 12 out into the nations to proclaim the gospel. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could do not any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around, teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. And whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off of your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. Then they went out and preached that people should repent, and they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So far the reading of God's holy word, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. To read your word, Father, is a beautiful thing. To apply your word to our lives sometimes is a more difficult thing. But you do not just speak to us, you come to us to teach us. You come to us to show us those things that you would reveal to us and how we are to respond to that word. So be a part of us now as we look at your word and apply it to our lives, that the meditations of your people and the words of my mouth may be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The Old Testament lesson for the morning relates to a call given to Ezekiel. Ezekiel's life is about to change. His whole life is now going to be radically involved in the thing as he is called to be a prophet. The prophet is the voice of God. The prophet is the one who tells the children of Israel what God is saying to them. And Ezekiel is given the words of God to show the rebellious people how God is now going to deal with them. Later on, there is another group of people who are called disciples. They are the followers of Jesus Christ. And now they're sent out in two pairs for the first time. Before them is the mission of the church as the church is now beginning to formulate itself in the world. Here they are going to find the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives as they have never seen that manifested before. They have a mission, they have a purpose, which will enable them to do some wonderful things as they cast out demons and as they heal sick people as they are brought to them, even as they had been brought to Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit and the wonderful things that God does as he calls us to be his people shows us over and over again that there's something so simple in the Bible that is there before us that we oftentimes overlook it. Yet it's so powerful that it's something that always has amazed me. It's the call of God. Why did God call me? Why did God call you? God chooses us for a specific purpose. God calls us to be his people. And the call of God goes through history and through time in unique and special ways, as it's shown to us over and over again in the Bible. God chooses his people for a specific mission, for a call, for a purpose, for the working and the wonder of his will in our lives. The most gratifying thing to me as I look back upon my life, and as I look at the scriptures, is to see how God works. God doesn't come down to the earth in a thunderous voice and change the lives of people. God comes to people to call them to change the lives of people. And the most gratifying part of the whole of Scripture and the working of God's redemption in the world is this fact, that God uses the very ones that he seeks to redeem, people. God uses people to show his will, men and women like you and like me. It starts with the prophets. As he begins to show the prophets of the Old Testament to be the voice to God's children, to predict what is going to take place, to show them how he is going to lead them, to reveal to them what he is willing to do for his people. From Isaiah to Job to Jeremiah, they are called, and the call is found to abide in men whose lives are radically changed as they now become the voice of God. It moves from the prophets into the voice of Christ in the lessons that Christ teaches us and shows us to be learned. How the power of God manifested in Christ is something that is there which shows that God is willing to stoop down to once again lower himself to become humanity in the person of the incarnation, in the person of Jesus Christ. Through all of the time of his working, God does not just work with angels. God works more with people than he works with angels. People like the disciples, people like the religious leaders in the Old Testament, people like the religious people who will follow Jesus Christ, and people who will find something in the working of God to reveal them as being a part of God's plan. He calls Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He calls Peter, James, and John. He calls his people, a band of followers, to be leaders, to be those who show the manifestation of God's love as that is shown and lived out in the world. The people of Israel don't listen to the prophets. They mumble, they grumble, they complain as they wander in the wilderness. And even when they come into the land that God has promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're unhappy people. And so God says, there's got to be something else I can do. And now God moves from the prophets to the person of his own son, as he sends his son into the world to redeem the world, to share the will and the working of God as it is revealed to Jesus Christ by his Father in heaven. And that's the only thing that Jesus comes into the world to do, to redeem and to show God's love. There is no redemption without God's love. And so he shows God's love. And as he shows God's love, he begins to reveal the redemption. The driving force in the life of Jesus Christ is what he is all about. As he manifests that love, as he shows how God wants to be a part of his people, as he shows what God has done for his people, and as he shows what God will promise to do for his people. All of the works that are done by Jesus Christ point only to the Father. There is not one miracle that Jesus does in all of the things that he does upon this earth where he takes credit for that miracle. It's always pointed to God. And in the knowledge of those things that he shows to the world, he shows how much God loves his children. The miracles and all of the lessons of Christ will always point back to the Father who calls us to be his children. The old familiar lesson that we learned in John 3:16 is a call. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's a call. A call that God gives to Jesus Christ. A call which shows us how much God loves us. A call which shows us how much God is willing to do even in the person of his own Son. Christ's call is to reveal God's love. And Jesus does that in the fullest of the measure that he gives. A man will lay down his life for his friend. Jesus makes you and me his friend. And he lays down his life for us, namely for mankind, for men and women all over the world. The gratifying love of God is manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, here it comes. It's easy to look at the prophets. It's not too hard to look at Jesus. But then there's one more step. It comes from the prophets. It goes through Jesus Christ. And it manifests itself in your life and in my life. Jesus Christ has called you and me for a purpose. Not just because we're good people or nice people. He has called us for a purpose. And the whole of that purpose is my call and your call to be those who are willing to live out the love of God in the lives that we live and in the world in which we live. We have been sought by God. Why, we will never understand. We have been redeemed by God. Why, we will never understand. And now we are sent by God into the world to proclaim the love of Jesus Christ. You and I are no longer disciples. You and I are apostles. Coming from two Greek words, apo, stello, sent from. You and I are sent from Jesus Christ into the world to manifest the love of God in our world as he did in his world. I send you into the world to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, calling to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You and I have been called for a purpose. You and I have been called because we are redeemed. And now we have a message to share with the world around us in the lives that we live. There is no special requirement beyond a simple thing called belief. The acceptance of the working of God in Jesus Christ is the power that works in you and me. Look at the 12 that Jesus called. Out of all of the 12, only a couple of them were educated men. The majority of them were fishermen. And yet he changes the lives of those fishermen so that Peter can preach one of the greatest sermons that has ever been preached on a day called Pentecost. He calls us for a purpose. Common, ordinary people all along the way, each with our own special and unique gift that he gives to us. Everyone who believes in him is called by his power. Everyone who believes in him is sustained by his Spirit. And everyone who believes in him and called by him are set to do his will in the world. You and I are the manifestation of Jesus Christ in this world. And as I've told the Sunday school kids 1,000 times, people are watching them, and they're watching you as they're watching me. They want to know who we are and what we represent. And by the lives that we live, we show to the world who we represent and who we are involved in. No level of attainment, no point of achievement, but an encounter that you and I have with God through the working and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we are sent out as apostles in His name. Every one of you in this sanctuary this morning are called. You have been called by God for a specific purpose. Some to be preachers, like me. Some to be teachers. Some to be apostles. Some to be something else. But every one of you has a role to play in the life that you live as you manifest God's love and as you serve Jesus Christ. In the places that you go, in the life that you live, in the things that you do, you will be honoring Him or you will be dishonoring Him. Every one of us who bear the name Christ have been called. But the more important part of that is this. Every one of us who bear the name of Christ have been sent. Apostello, into the world to manifest the love of Jesus Christ. The working of God comes through all of those levels of life. Way back in the Old Testament and then in the New Testament, as we see Jesus Christ, as He comes to choose and teach and formulate a group of people called Christians, and as He founds a thing called the church, and as He sends His Son to honor Him and serve Him, God also calls us through the touching of our lives on every level of our life. And we have an honor that nobody in the world can ever give you. You have a gift that the world can never give you. You have a gift that the world can never take away from you. It is the gift of knowing that you are a child of God, and that because you are a child of God, you have a purpose. You have a meaning. You have a significance. You have a task to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to honor your neighbor as yourself. You and I are called. We are the followers of Christ. We are those who have been sent by Christ to honor Him, even as He fulfills His call. You and I fulfill our call in the world in which we live. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we don't understand why. We don't even understand how. But we know You've called us. We see as You have called Your Son, and we see how You worked in His life. And we look at our own lives and realize how You've worked in our lives as well. You've blessed us in a multitude of ways. You've guided us and directed us. You've forgiven us. You've loved us. And You've called us to be Your children. Help us to be that in the week that lies before us. In the name of Christ. Amen. We set before God our tithes and our offerings as we worship God.